Good morning, my brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't going to start here, but I love this hymn so much I thought I had to. 110, O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works that thy hand hath made. The story behind this hymn, if memory serves, was a Catholic was walking home from church one day and it rained. Which is putting it very mildly, it was an absolutely horrific thunderstorm. Which, if you think about it, is, well, for me at least, I would not consider this a especially good thing, as I'm walking home getting absolutely drenched. I have been to Kuala Lumpur in monsoon season. When it rains, good grief, it rains. Clouds appear, first drop of rain, and then you are just a walking waterfall. So it's not something I'm particularly rejoice at, if I'm honest. But he gets home and then he writes this hymn, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, which includes the rain clouds, which includes the fact that you get soaking wet, when I see the stars, when I hear that mighty thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. And it's such a positive, such a wonderful hymn. And I think it's something that I know I didn't do enough, and I still don't do enough, but God's creation really is such a wonderful thing. It's worth every single moment of consideration that we can give it, because good grief is it amazing. Like, from the smallest of things to the biggest mountain, everything God made truly is wonderful. And something that came up probably about a year ago was, it's amazing to spend time in God's creation. And the cool thing is, that's what we're doing right now. Because we are God's creation. Each and every one of us are God's creation. And so, the theme for my talk this morning is advice, and I have one piece of advice. Well, actually, I have two. One is, go out and enjoy God's creation. But two, don't forget the people that you're sitting next to. They're God's creation too. But anyway, that's my aside. One of many, probably. Because what I wanted to talk about this morning is advice. Because I feel like the first exhort after someone gets baptized, the general idea is that someone, you know, would quite like some advice going forward. Something I have noticed, though, is no one ever specifies if it's good advice or bad advice. So I have come prepared, Kerry, with some advice. Advice number one, never ice skate with your hands in your pockets. Advice number two, when the building is on fire, wait until you get outside to tweet about it. And piece of advice number three, give a man a fish and you can feed him for a day. Never bother teaching a man to fish, he's a grown man, he can teach himself. Because fishing is not hard. And that's my tongue-in-cheek advice. But more sensibly, more seriously, what I want to do is I want to spend a little bit of time in Deuteronomy, because I think if you want to get one piece of advice, we can't go to a better place than to Moses delivering his advice to the people of Israel. And what's even more appropriate is that this is his last piece of advice as they are standing on the edge of the kingdom. And with world events in such a state as they are, we too are standing on the edge of the kingdom. So, what is Moses' advice? Well, there are lots of things that he says. Deuteronomy is a modestly sized book. And there are lots and lots of things that we could talk about. But specifically, what I want to look at is in Deuteronomy chapter 30, which is almost at the end. He says a little bit more, but not much. And so what he says in chapter 30 and verse 15, as he's wrapping up his words to the people, he says, see, I have set before you today life and good, and death and evil. Cool. Right. Verse 19, he then says, after the answer, which he basically says, by the way, this is not hard advice, you should be able to understand this. He says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Which is good advice. But it's it's something worth thinking about. A comment that I heard in a talk recently was, if you ever come across something in Scripture that feels like it probably shouldn't be there, you have found something very special. Examples include, I believe, Uzziah in the Kings is described as a king gardener. I don't actually know why that's there, but it does not need to be there, and when if someone knows why, please tell me, because I really want to know. But I think this, especially in verse 19, is another one of these things that doesn't really need to be there. Because if you think about it, what Moses has said is, live, die, choose life. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm given the choice between living and dying, I don't need any help to choose. I know which one I want to do. I want to live, because, you know, living is good. And I'm sure the same is true for all of you. If you had the option of going outside to a nice gentleman outside who will brutally murder you, or staying inside and not, hopefully, I should be able to predict your answer. So why on earth does Moses see it as necessary for him to tell the people life and good and death and evil, choose life? I mean, he's dressing it up as plain as he can. He's saying, this is really, really good. This is really, really bad. So he shouldn't theoretically need to tell you which one to choose. But he does. Which, if nothing else, should make us stop and think. And that is a sign of good advice. Good advice is like a nondescript wire on a fence at a farmer's on a farm. It may or may not be electric, but it should make you stop and think. I know this from experience, but that didn't stop and think. Not a good idea. So what we have is this advice to choose life. So we stop and we think about it. Why is Moses telling us? Well, he's telling us because the answer is not as, doing it is not as easy as it may seem. Because to choose life in this instance requires you to follow all the things that Moses has said in the preceding 29 chapters. It requires you to do all of, to follow all of the principles that are talked about in the law. It requires you to do so much, and more than anything, what it does is it requires us to let go of ourselves. Because to do the things in the law, to do the things that Israel was being asked to do, they had to put others first. They had to love their neighbor as themselves. They had to honor their parents. They had to do all of these things that as humans we inherently don't want to do because they're not about me. And so Moses here is giving them a suggestion. Not suggesting, he's giving them a hint that's on a neon sign that's about 60 feet tall, 150 feet wide, and he's standing there pointing at it. It's like, yes, do this, please. And what's even more profound about this is that they have, in the last 40 years, they have watched over 1 million people die. And yet they still needed some encouragement to choose God. But happily, as that is a slightly depressing comment, happily we are here today, the day after someone has chosen life. And that is an amazing thing. Because we know in the beginning of the Wilderness Wanderings, Israel round one didn't. And they all died, and that was really sad. But we have now, basically, in Kiri, what we have is a personification of Israel, who, with Moses' advice, chose life and went into the kingdom. They went into the promised land, and that is amazing. But that wasn't the end of it. Because choosing life, while difficult in and of itself in the first instance, doesn't just stop there. Because, as I said, choosing life requires to do everything that's been done before. And we can't just do that once. We have to keep on doing it. The journey of Israel didn't stop when they said, yes, Moses, we will choose life, and they went into the kingdom. They then had to fight in Jericho, and in Ai, and in all of the other battles. They had to get rid of all of the people in the land. They then had to settle the land, and then they had to keep on being faithful. They had to keep on choosing life. Because it's not just a one-off thing. There's a in South Africa and in other places of Africa, they have a different concept of now to us. By now, if someone says I'll do something now, they'll mean I will do it at some point. It may or may not be now, but I will get around to it. So when they say, yep, I'm arriving now, they could be arriving now, or they could be arriving tomorrow. You don't know. So what they have to clear up this confusion is they have this phrase now, which actually means now. And the reason this is relevant is because we need to choose life now. Or rather, now. Because to choose life, we have to choose life every day. Every moment of our lives, every now that exists, we have to choose God, because in every moment that we have, we are faced with the choice: life and good, death and evil. And again, this is why Moses told them that they needed to choose life, because they needed to be reminded, as we all need to be reminded, because it's a choice that we have to make over and over and over again. We have to make it now, for every now. We have to keep on choosing life. And that was Moses' advice as he stood there on the edge of the kingdom. As he stood there trying to encourage, trying to get these troublesome, difficult people over the finish line. He'd gotten them so close, and this was his piece of advice. Just please choose life. And so that's my advice. No, that's not my advice. That's the bit of God's advice that I decided to talk about. But obviously, given this is the memorial meeting, we can't end there, because we have something to remember. The man who chose life, but not for himself. The man that chose death for himself, and in so doing, chose life for each and every one of us. We now come to remember our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who took Moses, who took his father at his word, and chose life. And in so doing, went to the cross and gave up his own, so that we too can choose life. Which only leaves us with one question. We've been given some good advice. Will we listen to it?